this is Jonathan Paley of the Paley Brothers, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC ACRA.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. And today we've got audio from the Bands Off Our Bodies Hudson rally on Saturday, May 14th, where hundreds showed up to rally in support of abortion rights. And some of the speakers included Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson and Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett. We'll hear from them this hour on the WGXC Morning Show. Plus, we'll hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news, which is next on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
In air waves controlled. Blood. A stream runs through. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thaddeus Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Live Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Wave Farm programs are made possible in part by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program, administered in Greene County by CREATE, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors, including WGXC's sustaining supporters, who provide critical monthly support to Wave Farm's radio station, WGXC 90.7 FM. Thank you.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Fridman Gallery in New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics that on May 15th, Governor Kathy Hochul called for limiting the spread of hate and white supremacy online in the wake of the mass shooting in Buffalo the day before that killed 10 people and injured three. Quote, "It's spreading like a virus now," unquote, she said on ABC's This Week. Police believe the alleged shooter was motivated in part by racist conspiracy theories like the so-called replacement of white people by immigrants. Hochul said she is worried that copycat crimes could happen. It's not clear what action the Hochul administration or state lawmakers may take in response. In her State of the State address, Hochul called for efforts to better scrutinize social media postings to identify potential hate crimes before they occur. The governor voiced support for strengthening the state police's social media analysis unit to perform a daily review of publicly available social media activity. The proposal was focused on monitoring school violence threats, gang activity, and illegal firearms. Hochul on May 15th indicated the alleged shooter, Peyton Gendron, was not known to law enforcement, but according to reporting by the Binghamton Press and Sun Bulletin, a law enforcement official who was not authorized to comment publicly said that as a student, Gendron threatened to attack his own high school in Conklin, Broome County. The threat was reviewed by state authorities last year and resulted in a referral for a mental health evaluation. In another interview on National Public Radio, Hochul said the weapon allegedly used in the shooting was purchased legally in New York, but the high-capacity magazine is barred under state law. Read more about this story at NewYorkStateOfPolitics.com.
Natasha Von Holdrich reports for Columbia Green Media that the Columbia County Board of Supervisors will continue to live stream their meetings on YouTube. Board of Supervisors Chair Matt Morrell said, and I quote, "We will still live stream it on YouTube so that the public can watch it. But if the public wants to make comments, they have to come to 401 State Street in Hudson," end quote. The board also passed a local law allowing supervisors to participate remotely for full meetings or committees when necessary beginning in June. Morrell said, and I quote, "The way the law is set up, meetings will be in person, and if there is extenuating circumstances, a supervisor can still join virtually. That can be because of illness or because of child care issues and so on," end quote. Hudson, Philmont, Catskill, and many other local towns also provide live web stream of their meetings for constituents. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com.
Josh Connor reports for Spectrum News that hundreds of people rallied for abortion rights in Hudson May 14th. The Bans Off Our Bodies rally were also held locally in Albany and Kingston and across the country. Quote, "It's important for people to take notice that women's voices matter," unquote, Upper Hudson Planned Parenthood CEO Shelley Hegan said at the rally near the group's Hudson location. Quote, "And trans voices matter. We are being pushed off to be second-class citizens once again in this country, and that's not okay," unquote. A leak of a Supreme Court draft opinion 2 weeks ago revealed the Roe v. Wade ruling will be overturned this summer. New York's abortion laws will remain in place, but millions of women around the country will have limited health choices. Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett was among the speakers at the event.
"We are here for women across the country who need these services. And our governor, who amazingly, you know, the world kind of aligns in ways it needs to, but our first woman governor immediately committed to $35 million to be sure that women across the country could come here and get the health care."
Read more about this story at Spectrum News.
Joshua Solomon in the Times Union asks when Representative Antonio Delgado will resign and become lieutenant governor. He does not get an answer. Governor Kathy Hochul tapped the current 19th Congressional District Representative as her second in command May 3rd, saying she would announce the exact date he would assume the role, and I quote, "in the near future," end quote, adding it would be, and I quote, "sometime this month," end quote. If Delgado resigns now or later in June, it would trigger a special election to fill the seat. But if Delgado resigns between May 25th and June 4th, that special election could be held on the same day as the state's congressional and state Senate primaries, August 23rd. Mark Molinaro, the Republican seeking the congressional seat, said, and I quote, "If there was a plan, say it. We assume their plan is to maximize their political benefit. I think it's in the best interest of all of us to have a special election to fill the seat," end quote. Actually, it would be in the best interest of taxpayers to have the elections on the same day. And the story says unnamed political observers believe Republicans prefer lower turnout, which would happen with a one-race special election. Democrat Ulster County Executive Pat Ryan has hinted he will run to fill Delgado's seat. Delgado is not commenting, nor is his staff, and Hochul's office says they are, and I quote, "working with the Lieutenant Governor Designate's team on the transition," end quote. Further complicating the election to replace Delgado is that no one knows where the district will represent, as the redistricting process is still tied up in court after Democrats' gerrymandered maps were thrown out. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Janice Holmes Brown is reporting for the Times Union that three regional hospitals are warning that longer than usual waits should be expected when using their emergency rooms. The reason is a large increase in the number of patients going to the ER for mild COVID-19 symptoms. Albany Medical Center, Ellis Medicine, and St. Peter's Health Partners said in a combined advisory, hospital officials advise that patients seeking non-emergency care are likely to have shorter waits by contacting their primary care physician or being seen at an urgent care site. Quote, between our current inpatient numbers and the surge of in COVID-19 cases, all of our area's emergency departments are reporting longer wait times for patients seeking care, unquote, said Dr. Stephen Hanks, Chief Clinical Officer, Chief Operating Officer, and Acting CEO for St. Peter's Health Partners in the statement. Quote, we understand that people are frustrated with the longer wait times and ask for their patience and respect for our health care providers, unquote. In the past week, state health department data showed that the Capital Region has the second highest level of COVID-19 cases statewide, with hospitalizations also rising. The region is seeing 55 people per 100,000 tests positive daily for coronavirus on a seven-day average. In Hudson, Columbia Memorial Hospital is not warning of long waits at the ER or that it has any plans to divert patients due to higher than usual wait times. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Rebecca C. Lewis reports for City and State about what lawmakers in Albany might pass before the legislature's session ends June 2nd. Since the leaked U.S. Supreme Court draft decision overturning Roe v. Wade became public, state lawmakers have been discussing ways to strengthen New York's laws and fund abortions for women coming from more restrictive states. The Clean Slate Act, which would clear the records of many convicted of crimes when a certain amount of time passes after their release, good cause eviction laws have already been passed in the cities of Albany and Poughkeepsie, and state lawmakers are considering a state law that would make it harder for landlords to evict tenants. Read more about this story at City and State.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that Governor Kathy Hochul on May 13th announced the distribution of $28 million in federal pandemic funding to help New Yorkers with children cover expenses incurred during the COVID-19 pandemic. Families on public assistance with a child 17 or younger in their household will this month receive $250 to help pay for housing expenses, bills, and other critical needs. The payments are administered through the State Office of Temporary and Disability Assistance. The one-time payment is intended to help families pay past due bills or other household expenses. Approximately 112,000 households will receive the payments, which will help more than 216,000 children. OTDA will issue the payments directly to the household's electronic benefit transfer account. Eligible households will receive a written notification from OTDA. The Pandemic Emergency Assistance Fund was created as part of the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021. According to federal guidelines, the funding must be used for issuing non-recurring benefits to impacted households with children to deal with specific short-term situation or need. Read more about this story at midhudsonnews.com.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Report for Monday, May 16th. And there is possible severe weather on the outlook. National Weather Service in Albany predicts severe thunderstorms are expected Monday afternoon and evening. There's a possibility there could be a tornado or severe thunderstorms at least. WGXC listening area is under enhanced risk. That's higher than marginal or slight on the National Weather Service's scale. In all, there's an 80% chance of rain on Monday, mostly after 1 p.m., with some gusty winds and heavy rain. High near 77 is forecast, and a low around 50 Monday night, as the storms may continue into the evening. Tuesday, all the rain should be over by 11 a.m., with mostly sunny skies forecast with a high of 64 and west winds 6 to 13 miles per hour with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour to spin local windmills. Tuesday night, partly cloudy is the forecast with a low around 44 and a west wind around 9 miles per hour with gusts as high as 24 miles per hour, again spinning those local windmills. The solar panels get some energy Wednesday with sunny skies in the forecast, a high of 64 and a low around 45. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered community radio for open ears. On Monday, May 16th, tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. At 9 a.m. on the WGXC Morning Show, hear excerpts and clips from recordings at the Bands Off Our Bodies rally in Hudson on May 14th. We'll hear abortion proponents speak, including Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson and Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett. At 10 a.m. on the Afrosonic Taxi, Mariana Ramos, Amadou Diajani, and Iseline Callister are among the featured artists. The Kinks are Brendan Donegan's choice for playing favorites live from the WGXC Hudson studio in the basement of the First Presbyterian Church at 11 a.m. in WGXC. At noon, after the local news, the Deep Three show has tracks from Freddie Hubbard, Reinhold Hell, and Mary Lattimore. There's new music at 2 p.m. on the Vital Weekly show from Emile Girard, India Ghali, and Flores Floridis, among others. At 8 p.m., we are live from Acre with J.D. Eisman and The Spell, his futuristic take on soul, rock, and more. And at 10 p.m., Nancy Giles and Carmen Borgia beam in from the Worthy Soundworks studio in Catskill with a variety show with stand-up comedy, music, discussion, and more until midnight on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On June 17th, three bands come to Tubby's in Kingston. First, E, the trio of Jason Sidney Sanford, Thaddeus Zedek, and Gavin McCarthy play rock music. Live Skull, the renowned 1980s post-punk experimental rock band, is back together and are playing on this show with Upper Wilds, who record for Thrill Jockey and feature multi-instrumentalist songwriter Dan Friel, who's best known for his work in the band Parts and Labor. E, Live Skull, and Upper Wilds play at Tubby's in Kingston June 17th, and you can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? News, politics, and culture? Well, WGXC 90.7 FM is looking for people to host its morning shows, the hands-on community radio magazine show. Our hosts love having an audience, are capable of multitasking, and are slow to panic. No radio experience is necessary. We're looking for diamonds in the rough. Before taking to the airwaves, you will be thoroughly trained and then set free to create compelling radio for listeners throughout Greene and Columbia counties. For more information, contact Lynn at WGXC.org or simply send an email inquiry to apply at WGXC.org. WGXC needs you.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Monday, May 16th. We are 37.2% of the way through the year. We have 36 days left until summer. Early morning temperatures range from 55 degrees in Durham to 60 in Copaig. The soil temperature is 62 degrees and under optimum growth conditions, down to 10 inches beneath the surface. You hear the music, you know what's coming. It will be warm again today until a cold front rolls on through, kicking up winds and dropping the water right out of the air. Possibility of stormy conditions starts around noon and ramps up towards dark. A high of 79 happens at 2 p.m. After dark, the storm quiets down. Some rain tapers off, ending by midnight. A low of 54 happens at 5 a.m. Tomorrow we'll have a slight chance for rain in the afternoon. Gusty winds from 1 to 7 p.m. and a high of 68 happening at 1 p.m., then hanging out for most of the afternoon. Overnight, we hit 49 degrees. Then Wednesday is looking windy again with a high of 70. Thursday, probably rain again and a high of 71. Pollen levels for today will be medium high. Expect some relief overnight. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 3:24 a.m., then low tide at 10:27 a.m. High tide again at 3:52 p.m., and low tide once again at 10:29 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 65 degrees. Sunset today will be at 7:54 p.m., and sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:30 a.m. Looking way up, we see 10% chance of X-class flares today. Solar wind speed is currently 547 kilometers per second at 9.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible till dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 129. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Galen, Tom, and Echo of Akron, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
No sports, no rock, no information for mindless chatter. We're your station.
That was the Rachels with Rhine and Courtesan from their album The Sea and the Bells.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
This event was committed by a sick, demented individual who has fueled a daily diet of hate.
New York Attorney General Letitia James called the deadly mass shooting in Buffalo an act of domestic terrorism. 10 people were killed after an 18-year-old opened fire at a supermarket. The white suspect reportedly targeted an area with a high concentration of black residents. President Joe Biden also condemned the shooting.
We must all work together to address the hate that remains a stain on the soul of America. The hearts are heavy once again, but a resolve must never, ever waver.
Biden spoke at the National Peace Officers Memorial Service, which honored the lives of roughly 550 fallen officers. 3 months into the war, Russia has likely lost one-third of the ground forces it sent into Ukraine, according to UK's defense minister. Ukraine says more than 25,000 Russian troops have been killed, while Russia only reports about 2,000 deaths. On Saturday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell led a delegation to meet with Ukraine's president, and Sunday, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with NATO allies in Berlin.
We don't know how the rest of this war will unfold, but we know that a sovereign and independent Ukraine will endure. In supporting Ukraine, we're also defending the principles of sovereignty and independence that are foundational to global peace and security.
The Berlin meeting also addressed Finland and Sweden's hopes of joining the alliance. Outraged by a leaked draft opinion suggesting the Supreme Court will strike down the constitutional right to abortion, protesters took to the streets in cities across the U.S. If Roe v. Wade is overturned, nearly half of states are expected to ban the procedure. A Republican research survey says just 30% of voters who supported former President Donald Trump in 2016 but voted for Biden in 2020 would back the Democrat again. The survey cited what it described as Biden's progressive positions on gender pronouns, Black Lives Matter protests, and so-called cancel culture. With two babies at home, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said he understands the impact of the national infant formula shortage. Sunday, he said the administration plans to boost imports, crack down on price gouging, and give parents more buying flexibility within government assistance programs. Benicia Wright of Ohio relies on the WIC program to feed her two little ones.
They've been changed from one formula to another. Even with that, there's just not enough. I travel about 6 different stores on 3 different days looking for the formulas.
Some Democrats want the White House to use the Defense Production Act to ramp up production. Twitter is accusing Tesla CEO Elon Musk of violating a non-disclosure agreement by discussing the number of bots and fake accounts on the site. Twitter says it's fewer than 5%, but the billionaire says among daily users, it could be as high as 9 out of 10. Musk's $44 billion bid to buy the social media platform is on hold. I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
On Saturday, May 14th, there were protests and rallies across the country after the leak of the Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade. The Bans Off Our Bodies rallies were held in Kingston and in Hudson and in Albany locally. And WGXC has this recording of the Hudson rally, which includes speeches from Hudson Mayor Kamal Johnson and Assemblymember Dee Dee Barrett.
Incredibly difficult days. And I know that so many people
are still shocked at the Supreme Court seat. And while we are waiting for the official Supreme Court seat to be released, there is absolutely nothing that should persuade you to believe it is not going to be what we already saw. So I'm not trying to say that to be hopeless. I'm trying to say that to be practical and to activate you. Because for too long, people have believed that this right was safe. I can speak to you as a 50-year-old woman who has grown up with access to abortion, and it never occurred to me that I would be having this fight.
That's what I just
keep
saying.
I feel like my generation in some ways has dropped the ball, and I'm standing here in front of people who kicked the ball in the first place, and so I can only thank you for what you've done. And I'm just looking at young people here who sadly are going to have to carry that ball for the next 200 yards. We're going to have to build back an abortion network in this country over the next 10 to 20 years. We're going to have to make sure that we do it better than we did last time. Our issue is intersectional, and it includes all of us. We cannot be white women funding access to abortion.
Right!
Woo! We cannot be women only accessing abortion. Our trans brothers and sisters need abortion too.
That's right.
Personal carts out and people, you know, looking and checking in. And I said, I just had this epiphany where I was like, wow, no one should ever feel the confidence to tell someone what they can and can't do with their body. Bashing of politicians. I'm not one of those type of politicians. So just know that I'm here as an ally, and I thank everyone for showing up.
Right now, Brent, you want to take it over? As an educator, I probably don't Abortion is our right. We won't give up the fight. Abortion is our right. We won't give up this fight. Abortion is our right. We won't give up this fight. Abortion is our right. We won't give up this fight. Abortion is healthcare. We want it now. Abortion is healthcare. We want it now. Abortion is healthcare. We want it now.
One more time with feeling.
Abortion is healthcare. We want it now.
Number three. We are unstoppable. Another world is possible.
We are unstoppable. Another world is possible. We are unstoppable. Another world is possible. We are unstoppable. Another world is possible.
Thank you.
This is Tom Rowe with Wave Farm with the WGXC Radio News, daily update on what's going on in broadcast news. Progressive activists and proponents of net neutrality are now openly questioning why the Joe Biden administration is doing so little to support its nominee to the Federal Communications Commission, Gigi Sohn, Common Dreams reports. The digital rights group Fight for the Future tweeted May 5th that, quote, Joe Biden and Senator Chuck Schumer promised to restore net neutrality, but instead they're sitting on the sidelines while Big Telecom mounts a massive dark money-funded smear campaign against their nominee to the FCC, Gigi Sohn, unquote. Net neutrality is creating an even playing field for the Internet, not a place where the companies with the most money get the fastest speeds. Fight for the Future director Evan Greer said May 5th that the Trump administration's FCC, quote, repealed it, Dems promised to restore it, and they've so far failed to do so by caving to industry pressure and slow-walking, unquote, Sohn's nomination. Quote, the only reason for this is corruption, plain and simple, unquote, Greer said, adding that it is, quote, a good time to remember that Comcast, AT&T, Verizon, etc. are huge donors to Democratic leadership and candidates. They've got their hands all up in there, unquote. The Obama administration passed net neutrality in 2015, and Sohn was largely the author of those rules. Now she's being attacked by the Fraternal Order of Police, who claim her, quote, forceful advocacy of end-to-end encryption and user-only access and employment history, public policy stances, and social media activity, quote, indicated serious animus towards law enforcement officers and the rule of law, unquote. TechDirt founder Mike Masnick says that, quote, the spear campaign against Sohn has been beyond ridiculous. Everyone who knows anything about her knows that it's pure nonsense, that she's beyond qualified, and that she will do an amazing job. The smear merchants are doing it because they know she'll do a good job, unquote. Carl Bode, writing in TechDirt, blamed the Democrats. Quote, it took the Biden administration 9 months to even nominate Sohn, given the telecom industry ample time to galvanize opposition, unquote. Biden's administration also isn't defending Sohn publicly or pushing to move the Senate confirmation voting process forward. Quote, the phony appeal of authoritarianism can only be defeated if the Democratic National Committee shakes off corruption and truly represents the public interest, unquote, Bode added. Quote, you don't accomplish this by letting a hugely popular media and telecom reformer drown under unopposed GOP telecom propaganda attacks, unquote. Radio Today reports that London's Resonance FM celebrates 20 years of broadcasting this month as one of the world's most creative radio stations. Around the world, Resonance FM is known for its radio art, and in England it is known as one of the first stations in an experimental program to allow community radio there. Quote, Resonance delivers arts and culture on air through performance, audio arts projects, and the wildest cultural conversation anywhere on radio, unquote, said Helen Bowden, former director of BBC Radio. The station has aired shows such as Shut Your Eyes to Art, which was a talk show broadcasting from the Tate Modern Museum with blindfolded participants who have never met and are given no topic of conversation. Resonance FM also airs several shows that are also on WGXC, including the field recordings as composition show Framework and Radia, where a show from one of a network of art-interested radio stations around the world contribute an episode each week. Resonance FM has been called, quote, the best radio station in London, unquote, by The Guardian, and, quote, the UK's most creative independent radio station, unquote, by The Daily Telegraph. Radio Insight reports that since President Donald Trump signed the 2020 Pirate Act, the Federal Communications Commission's Enforcement Bureau has begun to send warning letters not just to folks they believe are operating pirate radio stations, but also to the owners of the properties the FCC believes are hosting the broadcasts. Four real estate owners getting the letters now have 10 days to respond to the FCC that they are addressing the issue. Edwin and Joyce Pitt of Baltimore, Maryland, Maria V. Hernandez of Kissimmee, Florida, Richard Manson of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and Kent and Deanna Coppinger of the Jefferson RV Park in Somerville, Oregon, got the letters that read in part, quote, you are hereby notified and warned that the FCC may issue a fine of up to $2 million if we determine that you have continued to permit any individual or entity to engage in pirate radio broadcasting on the property that you own or manage, unquote. The new law Trump signed includes draconian $2 million fines for pirate radio operators or property owners. It was co-sponsored by Representative Paul Tonko, who represents Albany County and much of the Capital District, where there has not been any pirate radio activity reported in many years. While there has not been any local pirate radio activity to get Tonko's attention, he did receive $7,000 in donations during the 2016 campaign from the National Association of Broadcasters, a virulent anti-pirate radio organization. But Inside Radio reports that the new law so far is toothless. The COVID-19 pandemic limited field work by FCC agents, and the FCC says it does not have the manpower to fully implement all of the 2020 Pirates Act's mandates. And they also say they don't have the money to hire new agents. Quote, President Biden's proposed spending plan for the fiscal year that begins October 1st would increase the FCC's budget by 4.3% in the coming year. Under the Biden proposal, the Enforcement Bureau would receive an increase of $5 million to implement the new law and to hire the 15 new employees, unquote, Inside Radio reports. David Gorin, a pirate radio expert who runs the PirateRadioMap.com, says that the FCC's new giant fines may be working, or pirates may be changing channels and locations. Gorin told Columbia Journalism Review last week that, quote, recently the FCC sent notices to three stations in Queens to landlords. There is a station in Queens that I'm able to hear in Brooklyn, probably 6 miles away, this Ecuadorian station. They were on the air when the notices came out, and they were on the air for several days after, but now they're no longer on that frequency, so they may have felt some pressure to shut down and move, unquote. This has been the Daily Radio News. Go to wavefarm.org for more radio news. Ars Technica reports that President Joe Biden heaped praise this week on the opponents of his nominee for the Federal Communications Commission, Gigi Sohn. Technology policy, though, is not Biden's priority right now, as raging inflation and Russia's invasion of Ukraine are taking up much of the president's time. Biden announced that Comcast, Charter Spectrum, AT&T, Verizon, and 16 other ISPs, quote, committed to offer all affordable connectivity program eligible families at least one high-speed plan with download speeds of at least 100 Mbps for $30 a month or less, with no additional fees and no data caps, unquote, the White House said, crowing about a policy to help consumers through inflation. The Affordable Connectivity Program provides eligible households with discounts of $30 a month, so many consumers will get free plans. Quote, you're really changing people's lives, you really are, unquote, the president said to the big broadband providers. Instead of short-term announcements such as this, Biden could be passing long-term solutions at the FCC if Sohn was confirmed to give Democrats a majority of the FCC commissioners. Quote, some of the Internet service providers appearing at this White House event are sabotaging President Biden's FCC even as they pose for today's photo op, unquote, Free Press Vice President of Policy and General Counsel Matt Wood said. Quote, these voluntary commitments form a strange juxtaposition to the aggressive delay efforts orchestrated by the very same broadband providers, wireless carriers, and broadcasters the FCC regulates to stall the confirmation of Gigi Sohn, a strong consumer champion, to the agency, unquote, Public Knowledge said. Biden waited almost a year to even nominate Sohn on October 26, 2021. The Senate Commerce Committee sent the nomination to the full Senate on March